$1,000. And this kid, man, absolutely came to freaking pieces. God saying to me, this is how I feel about you. Said, I know this is hard, but I am so freaking proud of you. The truth in the moment is that I am a relationship builder. This is going to be a power-packed episode, to say the least. This thing is to help people walk down the road to find Christ. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Art of Suffering podcast with Dalton Darnell. I want to start with letting you guys know it's been a rough couple of weeks. Absolutely brutal. We're going to get into it in this episode, but I do want to ask you guys to share the podcast. Share this YouTube video or the audio version on Spotify, on your Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you share your stuff with your people. The goal of this thing is to help people walk down the road to find Christ. That's it. To live a better life, to be more fulfilled in life. And this is going to be a power-packed episode, to say the least. I have been getting absolutely annihilated the last couple of weeks, whether it's the enemy or God transforming my mind. It has been one thing after another, and we're going to dive into every single stitch of it. That's why I'm behind on getting episodes out and posted. And after I tell the story, I hope you guys can have some grace for me in being not as disciplined as I normally have been. But it's been brutal. It's been a grind. But if you guys support the episode, like, share, comment, and then put this thing out there, man. Send it to a buddy of yours that needs help. Send it to your husband. Send it to your wife. And if you've struggled with the things that we're about to talk about, I truly hope that my story can help further you down the road a little bit. It can help heal you a little bit. It can help you understand that you are not alone. And once again, like I've said in previous episodes, my goal is not necessarily to teach you. It's just to share my experience with you, to share my shortcomings, my failures, so that we can learn from them. That's the goal. So I'm going to backtrack here a couple of weeks back to the Montana Clinic. If you haven't seen that video on my YouTube channel, the title is I Teach a Rope and Clinic in All 50 States, Montana. Had an incredible experience at this thing, guys. You could feel God's presence with these people. The clinic was huge. There was like 60-something students in the dang thing. And honestly, going into it, I was very uncomfortable because I didn't know if I was going to be able to teach that many people at once. But God pulled through. He absolutely gave me the strength to teach for 13 hours a day and love on those people and share him with them. And it was unbelievable. But right when I left there, something or another got in my boot. And the doctor says it was a tick bite. But I got this freaking bite, this bug bite on my foot, and it swelled up real nasty and ended up getting Rocky Mountain spotted fever. So I come home from that clinic. The week coming back from that, had Rocky Mountain spotted fever. It was pretty rough. Not going to lie. That is not something you want to get. Luckily, they gave me some good antibiotics and we got it knocked out. But that was kind of the first in the role of getting my butt whooped the last couple of weeks. So from there, I had the Oklahoma clinic was like 10 days after the Montana clinic. So I come home, get sick, get kind of healed up, and then I'm straight off to Oklahoma to teach a clinic there. And there was way less students in it. It's a very, you know, more of like a personal lesson clinic. I think there was only 10 or 12 students in it. And it was a ton of fun, but I listened to this podcast, and I don't know the title of it. I'll share the description below. And in this podcast, there's a guy, the guy they had on, his name was Jamie Winship. And it was quite literally one of the most transformative things I've ever heard in my entire life. And I'm going to walk you through this process that he talks about. I've listened to a ton of his stuff since this. This is about 2 weeks ago. And I've been just binging all of the podcasts I can find with this guy on it, because the way that he thinks is unlike anything I've ever heard in my life. Totally transformative for me. Totally transforming the way that I look at God and the way that I look at myself and the way that I look at you as my neighbor, as my brother in Christ. And so we're going to get into all that in this episode after I kind of give you the lowdown on the last 2 weeks and how this God lighting this all up, right? The beauty of the Montana Clinic, standing under those mountains, talking about Jesus with those people, the misery of the Rocky Mountain spotted fever, leading into the Oklahoma Clinic, learning about my identity and what Jamie Winship has to offer, kind of finding my purpose a little bit. And that's why I started this episode off with asking you to share it, because the King is about to do something. He's about to absolutely take this, what me and you have built here with this little channel, and he is about to use it for his kingdom. And I have way more faith than a mustard seed in that. The King is doing something. And it started in between the Montana and the Oklahoma Clinic. It started with Charlie Kirk's assassination. And I'm not going to dive into that because way smarter people than me have already talked about that. I do want to say that it was very difficult for me to watch someone who believes a lot of the same things that I do get killed for what they believe. But what it did do is it convicted me. It convicted me deeply to go, okay, the King, being a warrior for the King, suffering for the King is the freaking purpose, baby. That's what we're here to do. And my goal is to build a community of people with you guys that are absolute savages for the kingdom of heaven. And that word in and of itself, for me, just means passionate. It means unwavering. It means bold, bold in what you believe. And so I want to build a community of people who not only are leaning upon one another for help, support, wisdom, and guidance, but that are loving their families, loving their children, loving their neighbor, the people that live with them, the people that walk in their daily lives. And I truly believe that if we do this, if we live in this identity that we're going to talk about in a little bit, it'll change the entire world. And that's what Charlie Kirk did, and that's what makes it difficult, is he went around to the people who thought differently than him, and he handed them a microphone, and he said, tell me what you think, and let's talk about it. And Charlie Kirk by no means was a perfect human, but the fact is that he stood up for what you believe, probably, and for what I believe, in a lot of different ways. And so the combination of that conviction, learning my identity, and then the third piece of the puzzle was I went back to church. I'm coaching a 6U baseball team. My second baseman is a little guy. His name's Trey. Great kid, great family. His dad, Chip, invited me to church. It's East Memorial Baptist Church. It's here in town. And as you guys know, I haven't been an advocate for the church. If anything, I've been the opposite of an advocate for the church. It really gets on my nerves. Church people really get on my nerves. And I went back and I listened to this guy, Pastor Glenn. I don't know his last name. Older gentleman, absolutely preaching word for word from the biblical text. And it was very refreshing. I left that church service feeling very refreshed in my faith, very poured into. I left feeling like God was like, you need to come here and recharge. And so we add all these things together, and I'm going to get to some stuff in a little bit that'll make all this make a lot of sense, but I just wanted to kind of give you the backstory. So I get home from the Oklahoma Clinic, and it was great. We had some really cool conversations. That video will be coming out this week. We talk about a lot of different things that have nothing to do with roping, but none of it has anything to do with roping. It's simply something we get to do while we love on other people. And me and Kara go to the doctor. Now, 4 weeks ago, really 5 weeks ago now, we found out Kara was pregnant. We've been trying to have another baby for about 2 years now, 18 months, somewhere in there. And we find out she was pregnant. It was this ebbs and flows. And I'll tell the story of Waylon in another episode soon. I got to finish reading Granddad's book and a couple other things, and I'll tell you Waylon's story and Wiley's story. And it's going to be difficult for me to get through this without crying, so I apologize if you're listening, but it's been a pretty heavy week. This would have been last Monday. So anyways, there's a really high chance that any pregnancy that we have is going to be ectopic, which is a baby that implants in the fallopian tube. And that's an automatic surgery to get it removed because it'll kill Kara. And so we're really worried about this. We go have our first ultrasound. The baby's in the uterus. And so first, you know, that's the first big hurdle, like, praise God. And this whole time, the anxiety of the whole thing is just chewing my wife to pieces, and me as well. I mean, anytime she's anxious, I'm feeling anxious, and it is just an absolute renewing of my ability to go back to the King, to just constantly find myself in prayer and leaning on God for strength, because I'm doing the very best that I can to keep myself put together for my wife. And all that has to come from God. So first ultrasound in the uterus, second ultrasound, we should see a heartbeat. We don't see a heartbeat. And we're like, okay, well, that's not good. But it could be early, right? There's a lot of things. And so the doctor's like, well, let's give it another week. We give it another week. This would be week three. We have a heartbeat. 98 beats per minute, right on the money, 6 weeks, should be good to go. But we go back right after the Oklahoma clinic, and the baby doesn't have a heartbeat. It has not grown, and the baby is not alive. So we were fearful of this the whole time, of course, and the ebbs and flows, the hills and valleys of the emotions, right? Like, you start out, you're pregnant, you're super excited, then it dips down really low because you're super nervous or have anxiety about what could happen. You know, it goes way back up when you get the heartbeat, right? Or when it's in the uterus, way back down when you're worried about the heartbeat, way back up when you get the heartbeat, and then comes plummeting to the bottom of the mountain into the valley of the shadows when you find out the baby is not viable for life. And I told this story on TikTok and Instagram. You can watch it there, but I'm going to tell it again here because of the people who don't listen on those platforms. The hardest part of this thing, and me and Kara were somewhat prepared for this already because we were worried about it and thinking about it, and the signs were there kind of, but you always, like, I operate out of faith, right? So I am always reaching to the King, like, having faith that he is going to pull through, and his plan does not always work that way. But we told Wiley that we were having a baby, and the reason why we told Wiley that we were having a baby is because it's his baby too, right? It's his little brother or sister that's coming. But me and Wiley, little backstory, for the last year, almost every day on the way to school, had been praying for this baby. I've been explaining to him that through prayer and petition and thanksgiving, let your wants and concerns known to God, right? Ask and you shall receive. That's what it says in Matthew. And so me and this little guy have been praying for a long time, what felt like a long time, probably an eternity for him. And I was so excited when we found out Kara was pregnant because I was like, man, this kid is going to deeply believe in prayer. And God had other plans, obviously. But Wiley, all along the way, he would come to me and he'd say, "Dad, when is God going to be done making baby Maddie? When's he going to be done making her? I'm ready to meet her. I'm ready to meet her." And so we find out the baby isn't going to work out. The baby is not viable for life. And we take Wiley in. We're sitting in Kara's office. And I just explained to him that the baby Maddie was going to go live in heaven with Jesus, that she wasn't going to get to come live with us. And this kid, man, absolutely came to freaking pieces. You hear me? And he was showcasing all of the emotions that I internally was harboring, right? Like, I'm the dad. I'm the husband. I'm the strong one, right? And it's got nothing to do with me. It's got everything to do with Christ in and through me to love on the people that he's given me to love. But the fact of the matter is that this kid came to pieces. And this is how Kara felt. This is how I felt. And I'm watching this guy. And so I just sat there and I loved on him. And then Kara loved on him. And I explained to him that we would get to hang out with baby Maddie when we went to heaven. Well, that same day we had a baseball game. And we're not the kind to shuck our responsibilities. It's just not what we do. I'm the coach of the team. He's the starting shortstop. Like, we have to go and do our job. But you can definitely tell that this kid is affected. But being resilient, going to do things you don't want to do or you don't feel like you can do, is a way that I believe God shows his strength. So me and Wiley, Kara and Waylon go home. Me and Wiley go to the ball game. And no, Waylon came with us too, actually. Waylon came with us too. Kara went home. And we go to the ball game. Waylon sits with my mom, and Wiley plays a great game. His last at bat, he grounds out to the pitcher, and the pitcher threw him out. And this kid comes untrained. I mean, he is emotionally just freaking losing it because this kid got him out, which he is an emotional kid, but usually not about stuff like that. Typically, he can shake that off. He had already hit like a home run, so he checked that box for the game, and he's in the dugout just wailing, just sobbing. And I am like, what is going on, man? And I'm over there coaching first, and I called him out to me, and I just hit a knee next to first base, and I'm still coaching the game, and I pull him over, and I just love on him. I'm like, man, listen, that hit you got moved the runner to third, and that's how he got to score. That's the goal. That's just because you got out doesn't mean you're not affecting the team. And it dawned on me. It was like, this isn't about baseball, man. Like, this kid doesn't know how to compartmentalize like you. He doesn't know how to take that horrible thing that you're experiencing today and put it in a box and do your job. He hasn't learned how to do that yet. So he's just being resilient through the emotion. He is just raw feeling and doing his job. And the amount of pride, the amount of compassion that came over me sitting on that ball field was nothing short of God saying to me, this is how I feel about you. He said, I know this is hard, but I am so freaking proud of you for still loving your family and still loving on your wife and still doing your work. And I know I am with you. I have experienced this. And so after the game, we won the game. We shake hands. We all huddle up and we do our little 1, 2, 3 team chant. And all the other kids take off running. And Wiley's just sitting there next to me on his knees, piled up, just sitting there looking like his sibling just died. And I just hugged on him, and me and him just sat on that ball field and we cried together.
And I told him, I said, "Bud, I am so freaking proud of you, man. I am so proud of how resilient you are. I am so proud of how you are trusting the King of Kings in this. And I love you so much." And we just sat there and cried for a little while on that ball field. And so in watching all of this unfold, and this week has been very difficult for Kara, especially. And a lot of times you feel pretty helpless. You feel like, especially as a husband, you have a very hard time helping your wife deal with these sorts of things because you aren't necessarily experiencing it. Not in the same way that she is. And so leaning on the King in this situation has been my only option. It's like constant running towards Him and constant relief from Him, whether it has to do with Wiley's emotions, Kara's emotions, or my own. And all the while, you're still trying to work, not really successfully getting anything done, but that's the goal. And so, that is, telling that story is to set up the brokenness that leads to getting the identity. Okay, so backtrack to Jamie Winship. In the podcast that I listened to on the way to Oklahoma, in the podcast I've listened to since, the truth that I have experienced through this person that I've never met is unbelievable. And my goal is for you to get to experience a little bit of that here. But please look him up. Share this episode and look up Jamie Winship, Winship. This freaking guy, dude, is an animal. So we'll start with the identity. Jamie's, one of his opening lines in the first podcast I listened to, which I'll have linked below, is that Christian, atheist, Muslims, they're all gang names. They mean nothing. And you're either in the kingdom of heaven or you're not. And when he said that, I was like, that is exactly how I think. The word Christian, no different than the word handy in the cowboy world, is widely overused. And there's too many definitions of that word. And so he condenses it down to the kingdom of heaven or not the kingdom of heaven. Those are the two options. And for my simple mind, that works way better. So starting from that point, he talks about how fears are pretty much the dictator for all of your emotions. And like, if you can pinpoint these fears in your life and speak truth to them, find the lie that the fear creates, speak truth to the lie, you'll find your true identity from Christ, right? So I walked around at that Oklahoma clinic with a GoPro on a stick, and I asked everybody there, I said, "What's your biggest fear?" And out of 10 or 12 students, I can't remember, it'll be in the video, almost every one of them said the fear of failing, the fear of being a failure. And mine personally, like reaching back into my mind, is worthlessness, failure, right? The thought I started with, okay, so what's my biggest fear? The one I started with was the fear of looking stupid. I, for whatever reason, hate feeling stupid. I hate when somebody calls me stupid. Like, if you want to get me freaking pissed, like fist fighting mad, like that fast, call me stupid. Because I don't know what happened to me as a kid that makes me feel that way. So I started there, but really the fear of looking stupid is to me, stupidity is worthlessness. So then I trickled into worthlessness. Like, if you're stupid or dumb and can't do anything or can't accomplish any goals, like, you're useless to society. And so from there, that trickles into failure all on its own. And so basically, my biggest fear hides itself as stupidity, but it's really failure. The fear of looking stupid or being a failure. And so I listened to this, like this is several podcasts in to listen to Jamie, but I get down to this one podcast where he's kind of explaining the process. And here's how the process works. So we're going to go back in time to a story that I have where it's the first time I could remember feeling really stupid. Like, oh, you fucking idiot. And I was helping my dad. I was a younger kid, so I was probably 13. And I was helping my dad put a roof on a barn. And it was one of those roofs that ran together at the top, but it had a split in the top, and then a ridge ran across the top of it to keep airflow coming in. And so I'm on one side of the roof, he's on the other side of the roof, and I have the screw gun. And it's a 20-volt Makita drill, and he just got it. And I was tacking on the tin. And he calls to me, he says, hey, toss me that screw gun. And I go to throw it to him, and I didn't throw it hard enough, and it fell through that split in the roof. And I don't even remember him saying anything to me. I don't remember him chewing me out. Now, I do remember the look on his face was like, God dang it. And everybody's had that feeling from their dad one or two times in their lives, I'm sure. But for whatever reason, this is like a core memory for me. Like I remember just feeling like such a weak, stupid fool for not throwing that drill hard enough. And so the second process to this is you identify that moment in time. Where does this fear of failure or looking stupid come from, right? Well, for me, it comes from there. And then he says, find the truth in it. And he says, this is going to be way harder than identifying the lie, because the lie is what sticks out in your mind. The lie is what's stamped on your heart. But find the truth. And so the truth is what your identity is. So God didn't knit you in the womb to be a failure. God didn't knit me in the womb to be stupid or weak. He knit me in the womb with an identity, with something he stamped me as. And what he has his students do from all the information I've listened to, and I could be wrong here, but this is just me listening to a lot of his stuff. But he has them usually write this stuff down, right? And he's like, okay, what's your biggest fear? And you write it down. So I'd write down stupid or failure or whatever. And he says, okay, give it to God. Give it to the king. And what did he do with it? Well, if you understand God's heart for you and what God truly believes about you, he's going to tear it up. God doesn't believe I'm a failure. He didn't make a failure. He doesn't believe I'm worthless. He doesn't believe I'm stupid, right? So he's going to tear it up. He's going to throw it in the trash. And then the truth of the situation that we're talking about is what the identity is. And so I thought about it long and hard, and my first thought was, well, I'm a hard worker. I was trying to work hard. I was trying to help my dad accomplish a goal. But that's not really an identity. Being a worker bee isn't an identity. Like that's, while that is a great character trait and having the ability to work hard, that's a learned thing. That's something you can teach someone how to work hard. And so that's not an identity. And I was like, well, that's not it. It's not, my identity is not just to work really, really hard. So I pondered on this for a long time. I was like, okay, truly, what was I trying to do? And my parents were divorced. I saw my dad every other weekend. Every time we went up there, we had some sort of project like this. And so my mind fell back into what something I was trying to do my entire adolescence, right? And that was maintain a relationship with my father, right? Even through all of this stuff. And this is nothing that he pushed upon me, right? This is not something that my dad was like, we need to have a relationship. This is just cognitively what I was doing as a kid was like, I want a relationship with my dad. And so I found my identity in this. The truth in the moment is that I am a relationship builder. That's what I like to do. And this has been a theme throughout my life with friendships, with hardships, with my bride, with my parents, with my sons, is that the beauty of a wonderful relationship with somebody is deeply important to me. It is ingrained into my soul. It is what God knitted me in the womb to do. And the goal with this podcast is not only to share my failures, it is to build a relationship with you so that when I see you in public, so that when you call me, so that when you email me, so that when we go to clinics, you can walk up to me and know me and I can know you. We're building a relationship with one another. And what this relationship does is it creates an environment to where you can hold me accountable. You can leave a comment on YouTube, and I know all the things that you know about me because I've sat here and told you the truth. I've sat here and shared my life with you in a way that allows you to look into it and go, man, if he just knew this verse. Man, if he knew the experiences I've had, I could help him down the road. And vice versa. That's the goal. That's a relationship. And what a relationship creates is this beautiful thing where you can convict me and I can convict you, and then we can do better. Whether you're a wife to a husband or a husband to a wife or a father to sons or a father to daughters or a mother to sons and a mother to daughters. Or even your relationship with your parents or the people that you live around or the people that you work with, and what it turns you into is someone that can go around, tell the truth about your hardship, share your experiences with the people that are around you, and change their hearts. That's what we can do with it. And so through this process that Jamie Winship has developed, or that he talks about, I learned so much in the last week about myself. I am not worthless. I am not stupid. I am not a failure. God did not make me those things. That's the lie. That's the lie we believe. I am a relationship builder. I am a warrior for the King. I am a good father. I am a good husband. And these failures that we perceive as things that we are nothing more than lessons to be learned from. They're opportunities for you to change, for you to be convicted into something else. That's what they are. And once you know the truth of the situation, once you know your identity, you can walk out into the world in this identity and be a member of your community and change people's lives, which that's the goal. That's what Charlie Kirk did. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what Jamie Winship does. His identity, he says in a couple episodes of the podcast that I listened to, is the untier of knots. He goes into conflict and he fixes the knot. And it immediately makes me think about a bait casting fishing rod. Like if you throw it and you know, bird nest it, there's Jamie Winship just fixing the bird nest and all these fishing rods. And so what this did, guys, is it convicted me to the point of like, okay, I need to really take the podcast seriously. I need to set up a studio, which we're still working on it. We got some backlights coming. We're trying to make it cool in here. I want you guys to feel like you're sitting in this room with me and we're just drinking coffee and talking life. And then the conviction to be willing to say to you, share the episode. Support the podcast, man. Share this truth with people who need it. or people who don't even need it. I've been a believer for 10 years and didn't know my freaking, well, more than 10 years. Shoot, I'm 33. I mean, I got baptized when I was 13, but I really started following Christ when I was probably 23. So yeah, about 10 years. And still didn't know my freaking identity. Like, my identity to me is I'm a son of the king. Well, what does that freaking mean? What are you supposed to do with that? Of course, I'm a son of the king. You're a son or daughter of the king too. But what do you do with that, right? What am I supposed to do? What's the purpose? What's the purpose? And so through these exercises, listening to Jamie Winship, which it would be so freaking cool if he came on the podcast. Like, I would love to sit down and talk with that guy. Unbelievable. Unbelievable human. But what you're supposed to do with it is what your true identity is. So if my true identity is the relationship builder, I am a relationship builder. Well, then that's what we're going to do. I'm going to build a relationship with you guys. I'm going to build a relationship with my sons. And my hope is that through those relationships, we can learn from one another. We can be friends. And then we can go out into the world and we can love people. And all of the people in the Christian gang, all the people in the Muslim gang, all the people in the atheist gang, right? All of these people will learn from us loving them. That's the weapon, right? That's the weapon of the warrior of the king, is to love people. And you can't convict people. You can't walk around and just shit on people about what they do when you don't have a relationship with them. For the record, that doesn't work. You can't walk into somebody's house and just go to crapping all over everything they got or everything they do when they don't know you. They don't understand where you come from. They don't understand your beliefs. So what you do is you love them. You build a relationship with them, and this gives you the opportunity to say, man, this is why I am the way I am, because they're going to freaking ask, because you're going to be different, because the king of the universe has changed your heart towards people, and people in and of themselves are going to have a hard time understanding how you love other people, because people are hard to love. So simply your ability to look at the world and go, the world needs Christ. That's what saved me. And then not beating them over the head with the truth, just loving them with the truth is what's going to give you the opportunity to have a relationship with them. It's really life-changing for me. The third and final conviction that I had in this week of hell, these last two hell weeks, is that first trip back to church, man. I'm listening to this guy speak, and I'm like, man, this dude's bringing the thunder, man. He's great. He really is great. And I look around in that sanctuary, and there might be 150 people there. And I've been doing a lot of studying in Matthew. This weekend, I'm speaking at an event in North Alabama for a ranch rodeo thing. And so I've been doing a lot of research for that, like kind of what I want to speak about, which you guys will see it. I'm going to film the whole thing. It'll be a podcast episode. And I'm looking around this sanctuary, and there's like 150 people in there, 200 people max. And so let's say that those 200 people come every week, and there's a little fluctuation between people coming, new people, that sort of deal. So let's say for all extensive purposes, 800 to 1,000 people come to that church a month. And this guy's preaching word for word what the book says. It's really great. And it was like God put his hand on my shoulder and said, double this amount of people listen to your podcast a month. Are you loving them in the same way? Are you offering truth in this same way? And again, I can't say this enough. My goal is not to sit here and preach to you. My goal is to share my life with you. But there is a very big responsibility that comes with that. And everyone has the ability to perceive the Bible correctly or incorrectly, and my goal is to perceive it correctly. My goal is for God to give me the spiritual discernment to read it, understand it, and apply it to my life in a way that is truly transforming my heart into His likeness. And my goal is to share that with you, to not just read the book, read the words, and go, this is what I should do, but read the book and read the words and apply it to the suffering in my life. Apply it to my relationships. Apply it to my parenthood. Apply it to my marriage. And then quite simply share that application with you, the ways that have helped me. And the goal with the relationship is for you to share yours with me too. Because if I'm the only one sharing, that means I'm the teacher, right? And what I want is to be able to learn from your experiences. And I want you to be able to learn from mine. And the honesty in that, it can be very difficult. But Jamie and them, they call it truth-telling. And so this is my truth-telling. This is the goal of this thing is for me to sit here and tell you the truth. And that's why we've dived into the drinking problems. That's why we've dived into sexless marriage. That's why we've dived in to all of the struggles of fatherhood, is so that you know you're not sitting on an island somewhere by yourself, that I am absolutely standing in the trench with you, sword drawn, ready to fight the enemy for my family and your family. That's the goal. It's been a long week, guys. And again, I want to apologize for my inconsistency, but I just didn't have it in me. I was struggling. My wife was struggling, still is. We both still are. But we got the studio set up to where we can actually do some stuff in here. We can actually shoot some episodes that will look better. My YouTube guy is going to be so excited. And I want you guys to know that our goal, my goal, your goal, is to take the things that we discuss here and to walk out into the freaking world and love people. Because the world is broken. It's been broken since they bit that apple. And you have an identity that the king is going to use. And it's up to you to listen to him to what that is. Jamie's two big prayers, he says, I stay away from the why question, which has been very important for me this week. Because when you have a death like that, that's the first question that comes to your mind is why? And so I immediately took that thought captive and just shoved it to the king. I was like, no, we're not doing that why question. So the two questions that he talks about is, God, what do you want me to learn from this? And then what do you want me to do? And I truly believe what he wanted me to learn from the last 3 weeks was that I'm a relationship builder. And the answer to the question of what do you want me to do? It's to change the hearts of men with those relationships. God has given you an identity. He's given you a purpose that's going to change people. Do you understand me? It's going to change people's hearts. And the people that you find on your road, the road that you walk every day, those are your people. And if I change the hearts of the people on my road and you change the hearts of the people on your road, by the time we get to the end of the road, lots of people are going to come to know the King. And the kingdom of heaven will grow exponentially. It's a big job. Everything he's got for you is worth doing. Guys, it's Monday. I'm about to freaking get after it. And if you're driving to work, if you're driving home from work, I just want to encourage you to ask those two questions. In your situation that you're in your suffering that you're living every single day, ask God what he wants you to learn, and then ask him what he wants you to do. And then shut your mouth and listen to what he has to say. Share the episode on Facebook. Share it on YouTube. Whatever. Share it all over the place. Text it to people. Do the thing. Y'all know the drill. Y'all been YouTubing long enough to know what we need here. If you need me, Dalton at 310EDU, please reach out. For the people who have already sent gifts and encouragement through this process, thank you so much. I love you. God loves you. My family loves you. And we appreciate the support and the love from the people who've sent it, because it has been a very hard time. And the hard time is not over. The valley is still here. But the King has a purpose for me. And we're going to walk in that purpose. We're going to walk in our identity, and we're going to walk in that purpose. So reach out, Dalton at 310EDU. I love you guys. Never weaken.